Well, turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to Mark chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 14. And we want to be talking this afternoon about the subject of faith, the hindrances that can come to our faith. And let's bow together for prayer before we begin. Dear Father in heaven, you are the God of all glory, the one who has raised your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have placed all things under his feet. And you have given us the Holy Spirit so that we might praise you for your mighty works. And the greatest work that you have done is to raise our hearts from the dead, and to give us the ability to be able to see spiritually your truth. So come to us here this afternoon and work in our hearts and build our faith. For Lord, we want to be those who are not hard of heart or foolish and slow to believe in the things that you have spoken to us in terms of truth. We pray that our hearts would be drawn out to you this afternoon so that we would see the greatness of the glory of the resurrection of Christ, the power and the hope that is brought to every heart, the power to lead a transformed life because you have raised your dear Son, our Lord Jesus, from the dead. So be with us now as we consider this text and help us to understand your truth and apply it to our hearts. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 14. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table and rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Well, I believe, according to God's word, that he works all things according to the counsel of his will. He ordains the timing, the order, and the outcome of all events in perfect righteousness. He is not responsible for the sins of men or their unbelief, but he is very much concerned with the strength of the faith of his people in himself, that it should not be weak, but be strong and steadfast. To this end, God perfectly arranged the order and the outcome events on that Easter morning when Christ arose. It was all arranged so that the disciples' faith might be strengthened and built by Christ rising from the dead. Now, you would have thought, biblically speaking, that the Lord Jesus would have revealed himself as resurrected to the apostles first, then to the other disciples, and then to the women later. Wasn't the woman created for the man? Is it not true that men are to be those who teach and pastor congregations in the church? And are not the apostles first in order of authority, who teach and who minister in the church? All this will be laid out by the Apostle Paul years later in his letters, and yes, it was true. But this day of days of Christ's resurrection, it was the women who made it to the empty tomb first, and they heard the good news of his resurrection. And it was to a woman, Mary Magdalene, that Christ appeared first. And this, I believe, shows us something very important, a principle of truth which we need to pay attention to, and it's this. In terms of the spiritual privileges accorded to God's saints, women are not at all inferior to men, and they're not to be seen as second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. In Christ Jesus, it says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Just because a woman is a woman does not mean that God does not have something to tell us or teach us men through her. In this case, these women who are mentioned were in the path of humble service to their Master and Lord. And when they received a revelation of the truth of Christ's resurrection, they were faithful to go and tell the disciples of Christ what they had seen and heard and been told by the angel. And yet we find the apostles and the disciples didn't believe any of them. And I think that this shows us something about the revelation of truth, which perhaps we all need to learn. In terms of what Christ reveals about himself, in the personal revelation of spiritual truth, women may actually, at some places and some times, be ahead of men. They may have been given greater understanding about certain spiritual truths and realities. And yet, as we know from the further revelation of the letters of Paul, women are not to teach or exercise authority in the church. They're to remain silent. He even says that it's a shame for them to speak in the church in 1 Corinthians 14:35. But from what we read here, there are times and there are places, according to this passage, where they should and they really must tell what they have seen and heard and know, spiritually speaking, so that the faith of people around them, even men in authority, can be strengthened. And further, when they come to share spiritual things, if they are in submission to Christ and His Word, they should be believed. The believer who desires to walk more closely with Jesus Christ is always seeking to find Him in the midst of their everyday life, even as these women who are mentioned in our text. These women even continued to serve Him after He had died on the cross and was buried. And in their service, they found more of Christ than they had dared hope. They came to find the reality that He was risen, indeed, risen from the dead. And so this afternoon, I would like to speak to you about three things that may hinder your finding the risen, living Christ in your experience and service as a Christian. The first is this: the hindrance of practical questions, verses 1 to 8. The second is the hindrance of grief for his loss, verses 9 to 13. And the third is the hindrance of unbelief and hardness of heart, verse 14. First of all, the hindrance of practical questions. There were certain practical questions which hindered their faith that morning. It was very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that these three women came to the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. They knew that Jesus had been buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and they knew that a large stone had been rolled in front of the door. They were practical ladies. They were thinking ahead. And so it says that they said among themselves, "Who will roll the stone away from the door for us?" They knew they couldn't do it by themselves. And practical questions like this can be a hindrance to your faith in this way, that you might not go on to try to do and accomplish many things for Christ. You might not go on to do them because those things that are commanded of you and those things that you would like to do for Christ simply look too difficult for you to even try. Now, it's good for you to know yourself and to know your limits, but do you know the limits of a risen Christ? Well, they are none. They looked up, the text says, and then they had their answer. The stone had already been rolled away. They had come there that morning to minister to the Lord Jesus, who they fully believed was still dead. But if they had really had had practical faith in exercise, they never would have come to the tomb that morning in their grave clothes and bearing their spices. It was a very powerful show of their love for him, but it was a very weak show of their faith. They had been told a number of times in his teaching to them that he would rise from the dead, and now they had come to the tomb expecting to find a lifeless body. They found the answer to their unbelief in the stone having been rolled away. The practical question was answered. They didn't need anybody to roll away the stone because Christ was risen. And so you see that there are many practical questions answered in our Christian life if we will but look up and remember and believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. We as believers tend to forget that he's risen from the dead, and so we ask many practical questions such as this: who will help me with the thoughts of my troubled heart? My heart feels tired. My heart feels dead inside. And who will lift me up from my discouragements and my depression? And who will give me strength to go on and the strength to glorify my God and my service to Christ? Dear troubled believer, Christ will, for he is risen from the dead. If then you were risen with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, it says in Colossians chapter 3. He was dead, but only for a short time. But now he's alive forevermore. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, it says in Colossians 3, 4, and 5. Well, who will help me with this, you say? The risen Christ, I'm saying, will help you with those wandering, straying, even sinful, unbelieving thoughts, even now when you ask him. And he will give you new and better thoughts to think because he's risen and will be working in your heart and in your mind. You see, he sees you and he sympathizes with your weaknesses. You say, well, who will help me when I'm going through trials and difficulties which seem to be too much for me to bear? Who will help me in the spiritual warfare that I'm facing in trying to be faithful to Christ? It will be the risen, living Christ. Remember what the Apostle Peter said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And remember what Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his mighty power, Ephesians 6:10. He can do that because he's risen from the dead. He has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, Matthew chapter 28. The Apostle Paul had times like this. This is what he said in 2 Corinthians 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But watch this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now all this, my friends, is only true if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Let your practical questions come, but remember that the risen Christ is with the one who believes in him. These dear ladies had other practical questions that they were having come to their minds. They wondered what had become of the body of the Lord Jesus. So in verse 5 it says, and entering the tomb they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed, becoming alarmed, not knowing what had happened to their beloved Lord. How does this young man address them? He simply says, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus. who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you'll see him as he said to you. And so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and they were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, how does this angel address the fears of these ladies concerning the body of Jesus not being there, and his being there in his place, this angel? He tells them of the Lord Jesus risen from the dead. How do you address your fears, dear believer? Let it be by remembering that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Remember that Jesus has gone before you. He intends to meet with you spiritually in your heart and mind and soul. He'll deliver you from all your fears. And if this is not his will to deliver you immediately, to deliver you from your physical, from being physically killed or having earthly cares, remember this. He is raised from the dead. He shall deliver you from every evil work and bring you to himself in eternal and everlasting glory. Because he's raised from the dead, he'll be with you by his Spirit's power. These women were not delivered from their fear of this angel immediately, and so they just fled, and they said nothing to anyone, but all of this was to change, and they would become Christ's witnesses in just a bit. I hope that you see from this that fear will paralyze you, and fear will not let you do any good thing for Christ. Faith in Christ, raised from the dead, gives power to do good and to witness. And these ladies were asked to go and tell Christ's disciples and Peter that he was going before them, but they fled from the tomb trembling with amazement. Their love for Jesus was great enough to bring them to the tomb to anoint a dead Jesus, but the word that he was raised from the dead alarmed them, and the presence of this angel really caused a wild racing of their hearts and their emotions. They fled from the tomb in fear. But something wonderful happened to take away their fear. Their fear of this angel and his message. Matthew's gospel records it with us. The more that they thought about his words, the more that their fear changed into pure joy. And if you turn over with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8, you'll see it with me. Matthew 28 and verse 8. It says, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear. But it says here, and with great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. You see how immediately the risen Christ changed everything for them. The reality of it took away their fears and let them become message bearers for Christ. It's Christ who strengthens us to be his witnesses. And the Apostle Paul said later in his life in 2 Timothy 4:17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. How, Paul? Because his Savior and Lord was risen from the dead and giving him this strength. By the power and wisdom of the risen Christ, the most practical questions of how we can do anything for Christ are answered. Remember this and act upon it, my brethren. This truth, when believed, will bring you joy, even though at first it might alarm you. See how these women were changed in a matter of moments from alarm to joy. And the risen Christ can really do this. Now, secondly, the apostles seeking and finding Christ were hindered by the grief of their believing that they had lost him permanently. We look back at Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Now, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. And after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Now you and I need to see the power that a sorrowing, grieving spirit has upon those who allow themselves to be affected by it. I say allow themselves because I really believe that this is what was true. A person who believes in the risen Christ, whose faith is an exercise, will grieve the loss of a loved one in death, but he or she will not grieve as those who have no hope. Why? Because Christ has been raised from the dead. Sometimes we allow ourselves to grieve in such a way that we can't receive the truth of the Scriptures. We can't receive the encouragements of other believers who want to lift us up by the reality of the truth that Christ is alive from the dead. These men refused to believe not only the witness of the women, but the witness of the two men who had seen the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus. Their hearts have been warmed, it says there in Luke 24. Their hearts have been filled as he opened up the Scriptures and caused them to see himself in the Old Testament Scriptures. And yet the apostles would not believe them either. I'm saying, see the power of sadness and grief to wound the spirit of a person to the place where faith is not seen by them anymore as the answer to their sorrows and their cares. If Christ is not risen, we are of all men most to be pitied. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where can lasting hope and eternal comfort be found except in this blessed truth that Christ is alive from the dead? Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in his sickness, but a wounded spirit or a broken spirit, who can bear? These men could not afford, they thought in their hearts, they thought they couldn't afford to believe in something that might not be true. And so they were wounded and they were broken in their hearts. They refused the encouragements that the others were bringing to them to believe. Now let me ask you if this has ever happened to you. God has brought some difficult providence in your life, and you feel that it's not right, it's not fair of God to permit such a thing. It seems to destroy the hopes of everything that you have built your life upon, and so you refuse to be comforted. Remember this at such a time. Christ is risen from the dead. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He can move heaven and earth for you if he sees it's for your good, dear one, and for his glory. What a strange thing this was that morning. Apostles that were weeping and angels and women that were rejoicing. Don't allow your grief, I'm saying, to overcome the witness of others around you testifying of the greatness of the grace of the risen Christ, which has come to them, which has made them glad. He can make you glad again too. He knows how to restore your soul. He knows how to give you new hope and new labors for him. He and his Father know how to give good things to their children. Don't refuse to receive comfort and encouragement and even instruction in sad times when your spirit is wounded. Jesus is alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and nothing shall separate you from the love and care of Jesus Christ. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Since Christ is raised from the dead, you can hope in him continually. You can boast in him all the day long. Nothing is too difficult for Christ. But where unbelief lays hold of you, you must look for yourself and you must see Christ is risen. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. The apostles hadn't lost him at all. And neither will anyone lose him who has a believing heart. But the only truth that will take away all your sorrow and dry all of your tears is that Christ is risen from the dead. Now, thirdly and finally, it's a hindrance to your finding the risen Christ in your experience when you have hardness and unbelief in your heart. Verse 14 says, then he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. We don't have the exact words of Jesus' rebuke recorded for us here, but we need to take notice of the fact that he rebuked them for these two things, unbelief and hardness of heart. And we've seen that these things are most destructive. They're the most destructive things to the believer's usefulness to Christ. How can Christ use us in his service when these things are prevailing in our spirit? And when you and I are in our times of greatest grief and sorrow and loss, we must learn to look up. And we must learn to see that the stone has been rolled away and that Christ is risen. We have a sure help. And we have a sure hope of help in heaven every day of our lives, in every situation. You and I can rejoice because Christ is watching us. And he cares for you so very deeply. He's gone before you into heaven. His mighty power is exercised over everything and over every person in heaven and earth. His love toward all trusting in him will never allow you to be separated from him. If you're still alive, you are alive to glorify him here upon the earth until the time that he will call you to himself. The rebuke that Christ gave these apostles and disciples was for their good. Because you see, he still had much profitable work for them yet to do. In verse 15 of our text, he says, immediately after he rebukes them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So you see here that the living, risen Christ proved his power and his love and his grace to them in that day, on that day of his resurrection. Will he not do the same with each of us in our day? You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. Know today that he is risen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the power and the glory of this text, the power and the glory of the risen Christ. We pray that you would rebuke any unbelief and hardness of heart that there are in us, that you might find in us. We pray that you would come to us and take away all of the hindrances to our faith by showing us more of yourself as risen from the dead. Help us to understand the greatness of your power and glory towards all who will believe and trust in you. Help us, dear Father in heaven, not to forget in our times of discouragement that you are risen from the dead, Lord Jesus, that Father, you have risen, you have raised your Son from the dead, you have crowned him with honor and glory, you have given us all things in him, and help us to trust in you with all of our heart. Help us not to turn aside from the greatness of the reward of knowing the reality of the risen Christ in our experience. And may our faith grow, and may our faith develop, and may we find in our times of feeling as though you're far away, that we have not lost you at all, but that because you are risen from the dead, you can come to us anew and afresh and renew our hearts and strengthen us and invigorate our faith. Oh, dear Lord, we pray that these truths that we have preached and listened to this afternoon, that these truths have become real in our lives so that we would see your work as something that we would engage ourselves in and with, because you are risen from the dead, that we would not be discouraged or distraught, but that we would engage ourselves fully to work for you and do for you while we have life and breath, and to rejoice that we one day shall see you face to face in glory, because you are risen from the dead. We pray and ask these blessed things in Jesus' name, amen.